middle school, junior high school. And I remember I was so short, I was one of the last in my class in the sense of, I was young. You know, in Oregon, they would have put me in the grade below. But in California, I was bumped to the grade ahead. So everybody else was bigger than I was. And I was short anyway. When I went into high school, they wrote in my yearbook, many of them did, good luck in short school. Well, you know what? I caught up. It's fun to go to high school reunions. Some of the people you thought were the stars and everything. I won't go into it. I look at, oh, never mind, I can't say it. Anyway, but some of these people, I was one of those kids, and it's not cliche, it's really true, when they'd choose kids for each side of a volleyball thing or football or something, and they'd fight over who had to get stuck with me. That's how bad I was. And so it wasn't real good for your ego, you know, they'd fight over you get them in volleyball. I'd be in they'd put me in the back where I could do the least harm, you know, and all the opposing side would aim for me. Because when the ball got me, it would go over my head and backwards. Take me now, Lord. So one time we were playing football, and I just, you know, to this day I have trouble with football because of this. But they, I should at that with that size, they shouldn't have had me in the front, you know. I got set up, okay, and they had me in front, and some kids tackled me. And my wrist got broken. And so I went through, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks with a full cast up to here. Thank God I'm right-handed. But I didn't think anything more about it. It was inconvenient. I got some kind of cool signatures on this thing and so on. I've got pictures of myself going through this. I think it was 10th grade. And so fast forward 10 years later, okay? And I'm working for American Airlines. I was about 27 years old. And I stopped at, it was in Westchester, California. I stopped at this JCPenney. And as I came out, I can still see this. A truck from that company pulled up next to me in a large space there. Guy gets out and sees me getting in the car. And he stopped me. He said, I think I know you. I said, oh, really? I don't remember you. Who are you? He said to me, I think we were in high school together. I was 3 years older than you. I was a senior when you were a sophomore. I said, really? He said, yes. We got together and broke your wrist. We set you up. That was the first I knew that. And he said to me, I was kind of in shock, because, you know, I forgot about it, and I didn't know I had anybody to forgive, actually. And he said, it has bothered me for all these 10 years, can you ever forgive me? And I said to him, yes, I do forgive you. It was the first time I heard a confession. It was a sign from God, right? Yeah. I'll tell you, I was in a Catholic charismatic community in college, and one thing they taught us was how to forgive. You don't say to somebody, oh, forget it, or it was nothing, or I never thought about it for 10 years. Not helpful, not helpful, not helpful. I said to him, he said to me, will you forgive me? And I said, yes, I do forgive you. See, it's a way of saying that. And his burden was relieved. Can you imagine, most of us go through life, we've done something to someone somewhere in the past, you're never gonna see him again, what are you gonna do? Well, this was a type. God gave this man, he had a conversion somewhere along the way, and God gave him the gift of actually meeting the person that he was feeling guilty about. He saw me and his sin came to mind. And I didn't hold a grudge because I didn't know there was one to hold. But what if I had? What do I do? How do we forgive? It's very important. I've gone through this before. It comes out of, the church helped clarify this through the diary of St. Faustina, through whom we received this feast today. And in the dialogue in the book there, the Lord goes over very clearly with her how the Lord expected her to forgive her people in the community that hurt her very badly. And because she was having visions, and some of the nuns were quite mean to her. And the Lord instructed her, and it's very helpful to me, is that forgiveness is not a feeling. We don't have to like the people that hurt us. We don't have to have dinner with them every week. Well, maybe you do if you're married to them, but if you don't have to be friends with them. You don't have to feel good about it. You might even still be angry. But forgiveness, that's something you may need healing or counseling. But forgiveness begins with, when I see this person, can I be cordial? Can I be kind? Or will they see in my face that I haven't forgiven them? Am I going to be passive aggressive? And am I going to get them whenever chance I get, behind their back or to their face? I made an enemy in my previous parish, ran into them at some clergy thing where they were volunteering. She made it known very clearly that she'd not forgiven, forgotten, or would ever forget by a look on her face. To this day, it hurts me. And I don't know what I did. But she does. And she's not about to forgive me. Now, that's unforgiveness. The look on a person's face. They want you to know that they hurt you, that you hurt them. And we've all done this. That's unforgiveness. And the other thing, do I pray for the person that hurt me? This can be very hard to do, but there's no prayer more powerful than to pray for somebody who's hurt you. And the previous bishop taught me this. I've said it before. You can put the name in a prayer basket, which I have in my chapel at home. We get a lot of prayer intentions, and I have a list of these names. And there's almost nobody from here, thank God. But as you go through life, you pick up people. The bishop certainly did. And or you can place them symbolically or actually behind a prayer, a picture, a holy picture or a crucifix. And when you touch that, touch one of Christ's wounds. Somebody hurt you in love, touch his heart. There, now see, you're connecting yourself with something that happened to Christ. And it becomes a very powerful, powerful thing. There's nothing more powerful than a prayer from somebody who's been hurt for somebody who hurt you. It makes us children of God. And this is precisely why our Lord permits it. It's very hard, but if we haven't experienced this, we haven't lived. It's part of life to go through this, isn't it? To have been on the receiving end, the giving end of these things. You know, sometimes we're the ones that need to ask forgiveness. And the third thing is the hardest. What do I say about people? There are times when we have to talk about this to a counselor, a spouse, or a close friend, but if I'm telling everyone in Kaiser but the person that hurt me, that's unforgiveness. I don't need to tell somebody's sin to everybody in town. That's not what God wants. And we don't want God to do that for us either. He promised, if you come to me in the sacrament of reconciliation, I will forgive you and I will never bring it up again. You may have to deal with the consequences of your sin, but I will not forgive. I will not ever remember this again. So God calls us to model mercy in the people that we meet and how we treat people that have nothing to offer us in life or who have hurt us. And this is precisely what Jesus models in the gospel. And it's really hard to do. You know, those disciples never forgot what they did to Jesus. Well, did I say something wrong, Lord?
Yes.
Did you have indigestion this morning? That was the deacon. He didn't have breakfast yet. All right, I guess I'm done. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.